Let's pray. In Jesus' name, we receive the blessing of the promises of God. We speak to our soul and say, soul, remember what Jesus Christ has done. Proclaim it over every area of your life. The gifts of God are yea and amen. The anointing of the Holy Spirit rules this house. It rules our homes. It rules the temple of God that we stand with now. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Those that believe, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you are seated. Thank you, worship team. Anointed, called of God, walking in your call, being a blessing, just as you, being the gifts of God. I walked around the sanctuary, the learning center, the courtyard, the parking lot, recognizing the gifts of God, the people of God that love Jesus with all your hearts, have a desire to give. It's no longer really about you because God made it about you, but he's asked you to make it about others. And that's what God did yesterday. I'm so proud of you. Just the things that you do, your hearts, and when I say this, don't hear this wrong, like I'm judging, but the attitudes of your hearts, just what a joy you are. And thank you. It's a privilege of being a part of you and just watching God do some miraculous things. People all over the country were watching, we had many of our pastors that were trained under the ministry here that were here, and what a joy it was to express our love and our thankfulness for a great man and a great woman who, as long as I'm pastor of this church, she's going to be able to sit right next to me, or if my wife's in service, sit right next to my wife. Because I give honor. Honor brings reward. If you live your life and you don't honor, there's no reward in your life. God has set that principle in the kingdom of God in this world. You will watch people that dishonor, and sooner or later they will fail. I don't wish failure on anybody, but they will fail because they dishonor. And it starts from childhood on up through the day that you take your last breath on this earth, that honor brings reward. I want to take you back to 1982. And, boy, is that an old man talking up there on the platform? But in 1982 and through 1985, I had the privilege of being a youth pastor, a district youth pastor, and running youth camps in the Great Lakes District. And had the privilege of overseeing hundreds and hundreds, an average between 500 to 700 students at our camps for about 7 to 8 weeks. And seeing God do supernatural things. What the Holy Spirit brought me to, which is going to match up to our continuation of our series, God-Given Benefits or the Gifts of God, we're going to talk about a supernatural redemption. And this is the way I started every camp after worship and games and joking around, and we got into the message. And I always had the privilege of doing the first message of the week. And it just was just an explosion of an anointing of God. And you'd see, again, 500 to 700 young people just raising their hands and worshiping the Lord. And some of them would raise their hands and worship the Lord because their buddy next to them did it. And they didn't really understand why they were doing that until by the end of the week they knew. And we saw hundreds and hundreds of people born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit. We saw many miracles and healings. And I've watched this through the years, and in all the decades of ministry that I've had the privilege of serving the Lord, I started every camp with a question. If you were to lose your life tomorrow, and I asked you, would you go to heaven? And of course, many of you would answer, but in many cases, you would answer in the first person. And I would say to you that immediately you've gone wrong. The first person is, you would say, because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, and you begin to proclaim what you did. And I continue to believe this, no matter what. But the only correct answer regarding the question that I asked has to be in the third person. What does that mean? Because he, Jesus, that's your answer. The question again is, if you lost your life tomorrow and I asked you, would you go to heaven? You would say yes because of Jesus. Think about the thief on the cross. See, I have all these young people, as some of you are doing it now, that they're keying in because they've heard all the religious, all the church, and all the wonderful things that have been said that bring happiness in your life because you love God. But think about the thief on the cross. Matter of fact, thinking about him, I can't wait to talk to him one day and ask him, hey, how did that cross thing work out for you? Because even that day, you were cussing Jesus out with your friend. Because he was never in a Bible study. I would say to him, you weren't baptized. You didn't know anything about church membership. And yet, you made it. You made it to heaven. But then I'd say, well, how did you make it if you didn't know all that stuff? You know, and if you dig a little deeper, that's probably when he entered heaven, what the angel said. What are you doing here? And you know what he'd answer? I don't know. I said, no, wait. What do you mean you don't know? How did you get here? And the thief would go, I'm here. The angel goes, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to go get my supervisor. And so the supervisor angel comes. And he says, we need to ask him some questions. Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? And the thief would go, huh? What you talking about? Oh, we need to ask you some more questions. Do you understand the doctrines of Scripture? The guy's looking at him going. Then the supervisor angel looked in frustration. Then on what basis are you here? And the thief thought for a moment, wondering if he should back up a little bit, and he walked towards him. He said, "All's I know is the guy on the middle cross said I could be here." Let me say that again. All's I know is the guy that was on the middle cross said I could come. And so we want to talk about the supernatural redemption of God. Again, in Psalm 103, as we began this series, David listed some benefits for every believer. There are five of them, and we'll cover all five in this series. But beginning in verse 1, again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Now, we covered supernatural forgiveness and supernatural health. The next grace gift is found in verse 4, "who redeems your life from destruction." What does it mean when God redeems us? That's what we want to talk about today. Now, I used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it again because a lot of you understand the illustration. Years ago, my understanding of redemption was not biblical. I didn't have that understanding because years ago, I would go to a store with my mom and grandma, showing my age, which gave my understanding of what redemption is. They would take me to the S&H Green Stamps Redemption Center. How many of you remember that? Ooh, look at you. All the young people are going, "What in the world are you talking about?" We always called it the Redemption Center. So that's where I got my thoughts. What it meant was if you collected S&H stamps, green stamps, and you licked them until you passed out because of the glue, you woke up after you passed out and then you placed them in a book. And once you filled that book up, you could go to the Redemption Center and you could trade and get a toaster that would work for about 2 weeks. The S&H Green Stamp Redemption Center. See, I thought redemption was trading. I'll give you this, you give me that. To trade for something you really didn't like or need. In other words, I give something, you give something. But later on, as I began to grow in the Lord, I learned what the word means. Basically, remember this, to buy back or to purchase again. To buy back or to purchase again. Think about salvation. Think about the story of sin. To buy back something you already owned or to purchase again. Have you ever had your car towed? I bought a brand new vehicle, drove out, an hour later I had to call a tow truck because two of the tires went flat. One time my dad had a flat tire, and he walked a mile to the station to get help, and when he got back to where the car was, a tow truck had towed it already. And he had to go back to the yard and pay a fee, basically buying back what was already his. All right, so what we're talking about is we're talking about the supernatural redemption. Again, the word redeemed does mean to buy back, but both Hebrew and Greek in the Bible, Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, meaning is the same for redemption. The Hebrew word ga'el, this refers to the redeemer or the person doing the redeeming. Sometimes it's translated the near kinsman redeemer. So let's go on and let me just give you some more story to give you a package. There's a famous story in the Bible in the book of Ruth. It's where Boaz redeems Ruth. Boaz not only buys back the land that she lost, he marries her and brings her into his house. Think about your salvation. Think about the story of sin, Christ coming, shedding his blood, receiving Christ, and being born again. It's a picture of Christ and his redemption for us. Here's the truth, that he not only purchases back what we lost through sin, but then he marries us, he proposes to us, and we become the bride of Christ. So I'm going to show you the Greek words, and there are four of them, that's going to explain to you. And I think the Holy Spirit, when he gave these words to the writers, knew exactly what he was doing. And to explain it fully, and we're talking about the supernatural redemption of God. In the English language, we have one word for the word redeem. Redeem. The Greek has four words that are translated or a derivative of the word redeem. All right, so this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to explain to you the four words, and from those four words, we're going to see the redemption story. We're going to see the supernatural redemption that is a gift of God, that is of grace through faith, that is given by God as a gift, and we receive it through faith. If you're watching online and if you're listening here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is the story of the love of God, who desires to bring you back to how at the beginning created you, to be that son or that daughter that is loved by him and has gifted many things to you. Well, here's the first word, agorazo, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. This means the marketplace for slaves. So it's actually like a business, it's a marketplace for slaves. In Revelation 5:9, there's a song sung to Jesus, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed, agorazo, us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." So it's for everybody. It says, Jesus, you entered the marketplace for slaves. Jesus Christ left heaven and entered the marketplace. Now, it's difficult when we use the term slave because of its atrocity, but I want you to understand that this is a part of the historical aspect of this world and also the spiritual world. There are people that are slave to sin. Not only in our own country, but in the entire world. But I'm going to tell you about the marketplace in biblical times. why the Holy Spirit used this word. The explanation is people that were buying these human beings treated them like animals. They would open their mouth to check their teeth. They would hit them or slap them to check their temperament, how they would react. And sometimes they were whipped to check their endurance. So the question is, why would the Holy Spirit use this word agorazo when he describes redemption? Because Jesus left heaven and entered a marketplace for slaves and became a slave. Philippians says Jesus became a slave to redeem us. And if you don't remember, in the Bible, Jesus was beaten, he was mocked, and he was scourged. Many times these slaves were made to disrobe, and our Lord and Savior was even disrobed at the cross. It's not funny that the Holy Spirit used this word. And the reason why that Jesus did all that he did is so that we could be redeemed. But I want you to catch the spirit of this is an understanding what Jesus did for us. What it really means of supernatural redemption. And why he was born. And literally, a couple weeks ago, why we celebrated Christmas. When he came and became a human, he came to redeem us and buy us back. Redemption. It's supernatural. The supernatural birth of Jesus. Here's the second word. What you actually add is a prefix, ex agorazo. Simply the same word, but in Galatians 3, it means out of the marketplace for a slave. Out of a marketplace. So Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us, ex agorazo, from the curse of the law. So Jesus not only became a slave, but he got us out of the slave market by paying the price for our sin, because we were slaves to sin. So what Jesus did, he literally redeemed us out of the life that would send us to hell. So the Bible is telling us we need to know that we were sold to sin. Romans 6 says we were sold under sin. In other words, Satan ran the slave market. What he would do is put on the auction block, put us on the auction block, and sell us to a sin. All of us at some point have been in bondage to an area of our lives, to sin. So we're talking about supernatural redemption, and it's a gift of God, and how we receive salvation, how we receive forgiveness, how we receive healing is the same way we receive our redemption. That sin you and I could not overcome without Jesus Christ and his power. Some were sold to lust, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, resentment. You know people that struggle in that area. Some were sold to inferiority. We talked today in our world psychological areas, fear, insecurity, inferiority. Some have been sold to an addiction. Some of you in this house have been delivered from addiction. And now you're walking in freedom. It is a gift of God. It's third person. The reason why you are free is because of Jesus Christ. Think about all of us at some point in our lives, we were a slave. So Jesus comes to redeem us out of the slave market so we could never be put on the slave auction block again. Now, I know, just wait till I get to the fourth point. You say, 4 points, you only have three, usually. Just wait. A great example of this is in the Old Testament. Remember Hosea? He is told to go marry a prostitute. He is told to buy her out of this slave market of prostitution. See, this is not just old. We have sex trafficking today. And praise God, we have a government that is delivering us from that bondage, going after these horrific people. Hosea bought a woman named Gomer. Not Gomer Pyle. Well, golly. He buys this woman, and they have a marriage, and they have 3 children together. But after a while, she goes back to her lifestyle of prostitution and leaves him. You can imagine the brokenness that Hosea had, the brokenness that was in his life, because he did all he did, created a new life for her. And she went back to the old life. Hosea 3, verse 1 and 2. Then God ordered me, start all over, love your wife again. Your wife who's in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife, love her the way I, God, love the Israelite people. Even as they, the Israelites, flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy. I did it. I paid good money to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave, Hosea says. When she got back into adultery, what would take place? What was happening? And what happens in people in their spiritual walk? As they receive Christ and then they go back to the old life, and it becomes 7 times worse. She eventually got taken back to prostitution and was on the slave market again. People would buy her and keep her for a while and then sell her again. And she'd be bought, keep her for a while, and sell her again. So the story goes, when she was old and on the slave block again, no one was bidding for her. And from the back of the crowd came a voice, and it was Hosea, and he was buying her back. So let's focus on what the Lord said. I want you to do this, Hosea, because I want you to tell my people, and I'm telling you today, that I, even though they continue to go back to their false gods, I still love them. If you're watching online, no matter where you've gone, what you've done, God still loves you. And this redemption means that he's bought you back. It is a gift of God, and all you need to do is to receive it. That's the second word. Let's look at the third word. The third word translated redeem is lutrosis, L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S. Means the full payment as a slave. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. This word means the full ransom. Jesus paid the full payment for your sin. And he bought you back. See, 2026 is going to be an amazing year. But you know why it's going to be an amazing year? Because you remember, you speak to your soul like David did, and you remind yourself of what God did for you. A gift of God. Stop going to the past. The past does not rule you anymore. Think about it. God gives ownership of the whole world to Adam and Eve. They lose it to Satan. So God decides to redeem us or buy us back. Here's a question. Do you think Satan knew how much God wanted us back? Sure he did. We're his daily delight. The full price was Father God's Son, Jesus, the Christ. Satan was going to beat him, whip him, and hang him on the cross until he dies. He was the middle man, the middle cross. God said yes to the full payment. Because why? God is a just God, and he is a redemptive God. The highest price that was ever paid for anyone or anything was paid for you. The blood of Jesus Christ was used to pay the full price. Are you still with me? So let's look at the fourth word. Apo, A-P-O, lutrosis. The full payment of a slave's freedom. The full payment of a slave's freedom. In the Greek, when used in the prefix, apo means to return it to its original state. So the gift of redemption returns you to your original state. What was your original state? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Then they had a conversation and looked at each other. They said, let's create to ourselves someone that's in our image and likeness. And that's you. That's your original state. You're not just buying the person to be a slave for you. You're buying the person's freedom to never be a slave again. So, what I'm expressing to you is this. Not only you've been paid for, bought back, brought out of the slave market, but you've been free. Freed to live the life that you were created to live. Whew. What a joy that is. We all have our stories, don't we? And I praise God that you had a story. But I praise God you've been freed up from the power of that story of your past. Amen. And today, you are free. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have the full payment of our freedom through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it is a gift. Jesus just didn't buy us back so we could be his slave. Even though in Scripture it talks about you and I make a choice to be a bond slave. Remember the story of that? That people were bought as a slave and they served their term that they were bought for. And after that term, they took what the Bible calls an awl and put it in their ear and sang, because I love the master so much, I choose to serve him the rest of my life. Paul talks about that I have chosen to be that slave. It's out of love. It's out of compassion. And that's what I'm wanting to talk a little bit about today, is because have we, by understanding that our redemption, supernatural redemption, is a gift, have we become that gift to God by the way we respond to him? Have we given ourselves fully to the Lord? Have we allowed and availed ourselves to be a person who realizes, like the thief realized, the man on the middle cross, let me come in? And if I was talking to children, because sometimes I would do the same story and talk to children, the man on the middle cross, let me come and play too. And here's my reality is in my life, every single day, what do I do when I wake up in the morning? Do I wake up in the morning and say, God, what are you going to do for me? He's already told us what he's done for us. Or do I wake up in the morning and say, God, what can I do for you today? Father, how can I serve you today? Jesus, I don't forget what you've done for me. I am so thankful for the life you've given me. In this world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Nothing of this world has power over us when we remind ourselves, our soul, which is our battle, spirit, soul, we remind our souls what Jesus has done. Okay, I'll just say it. This is really good stuff, folks. Amen. Amen. We don't hear the storyline. We hear everybody else's story, which is good. That's why I said earlier today, I said, man, I'm so proud of being a part of your stories, what God's doing in and through you. We're doing this together as a church. That's why we do what we do. That's why we invite people to church. That's why we minister to our neighbors. That's why we take a pie or tamales to pastor's house. I mean, to our neighbors. And that's why we do the things that we do. Is why? Because we understand supernatural redemption, that is a gift of God. That it's been given, not because of what I did or how good I am or how I get in the future, if I become better or gooder. And we realize this. You are fabulous in the kingdom of God because the gift overwhelmed you. That's the way God sees you and me. He sees you as that gift. And that's what I'm asking you today. Will you see God, the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, as who they really are? They're the gift givers. It will change your prayers. Instead of God, will you? It'll be God, you already have. Help me to walk in these truths, even though what I see in the physical is not what I see in my heart. Help me to walk in this lifestyle. Help me to live my life with joy. Yesterday, there were tears, there was laughter, because we knew the truth of redemption, of a man who gave his life to the Lord. I love this man that was laid here before us. He was faithful because he knew the supernatural gift of God of redemption. You see, all of us can tell our own stories now. And that reality is so good. It's so good. It's such joy. You know, I would love to stand up here and say, you know, every day of my life has been just the greatest day of my life. That'd be a lie. Because I've had pain, I've had loss, I've had disease attack my body, I've had all these things that have gone on, the tribulation of this world, but I've learned to rise up and to allow the gifts of God to just explode in my thoughts, in my heart. Amen. So because of that thinking, I've had the greatest life. And I'm looking forward to the next 40, 50 years. That's where my passion is. But you know why I'm looking forward to that? It's so I can touch people for Jesus Christ. I can fulfill the call of God in my life. Till the time I take my last breath. Oh, I wish I knew what I know now, 46 years ago when I started ministry. Oh. But you know what? Those 46 years, the 68 years I've lived, it's amazing. I can't tell you. Last night I was praying after the football game. Last night I was praying and I was thinking about the youth camps. The Holy Spirit reminded me of the names of some kids and youth pastors that were working with me and all the different things. And what a joy it was to watch kids, junior high, high school, college, being called of God into the ministry. And today, they're all over the country, all over the world in ministry. Why is that? Why does that happen? Because that's God's heart for all of us. That's God's heart. Here's something I want to say, and then I'll be done. Football games are today, yeah, I know. It's only 11:18. So I'm going to end early, possibly. Unless the Lord gives me some more word. Here it is. God loves you. Everything that he is, everything he has is for you. It's a gift of God. It's supernatural. So the original state I'm still working on that, how to understand that. Adam and Eve. But there it is. There is, I've been redeemed, brought out, delivered, and freed from anything that would hinder what God's called me to do. Wherever God sends you, wherever you go. Through the years, I've watched people get sent on the mission field or graduate college and they go to another state to start working for a company. They made a choice to leave everything and go. I've seen people who go to different colleges and different universities and play sports and all the different. We've got a young man here that's going to Spain to play soccer this summer. God's called every one of us. And he's covered us. He's freed us to be everything he's called you to be, to succeed, to prosper in marriage, prosper in relationships. So when I use the word prosper, just don't think money, but that's included. Okay, I'll finish. Galatians 4:7, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So here's what we need to be excited about. Agorazo, Jesus entered the marketplace for slaves. Ex agorazo, he became a slave so that we could be redeemed out of the slave market. Lutrosis, Jesus paid the full price for us, but he just didn't buy us. Apolutrosis, he just didn't buy us. He returned us to our original state, which are sons and daughters of the Most High. That's supernatural redemption. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Melissa. People are so faithful to their call, their anointing. Blessings upon our homes, our houses, our places of residence. Blessings upon our jobs, our businesses. Blessings upon our bank accounts. Remove debt in Jesus' name. Give wisdom and insight in how to live life with what you have given us to give. Teach us in a greater way about giving and receiving in 2026. Overwhelm our cities, overwhelm our governments with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with all those that are involved in governance. In Jesus' name, heal our bodies. We receive the gift of healing now in Jesus' name. If you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Scripture says to believe in your heart of what Jesus did, and then you believe in that gift of salvation, and he had become Lord. And then from there, you begin your journey of freedom. Freedom from pain, freedom from all the things that used to rule you, no longer will rule you. And I give you praise for that. Thank you, Lord, for this house. Blessings upon this house. We come in agreement with the prophetic word that was given to us. As we continue to read that word, and see what you said to us. Lord, I just pray that each individual here would bring that to their homes and proclaim it over their homes and their relationships. That God, what you said to us will come to pass. But all of our lives, we base it as King David based his life, reminding his soul of the great benefits and the gifts you've given us. Blessings on this afternoon as we come back tonight for Bible studies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Love y'all. Have a great afternoon.